Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also the four exciting and talented players who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We have two talented stand-up comedians who have both achieved so much in the world of stand-up, and that is the outstanding and comedian Paul Merton and the individual comedian Tony Hawks. And we also have another comedian who made a great name for himself in the past. He walked from the world of... more from the world of sit-down comedy, really. That is Derek Nimmo. And we're also delighted to welcome for the first time to Just a Minute a charming, delightful, and talented actress who is equally at home in comedy or drama. Would you please welcome Blythe Duff? Would you please welcome all four of us? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And sitting beside me is Linda Cobley, who will help me keep the score. She'll help the stopwatch. She'll blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the University Union, the debating chamber in the Union of that magnificent university in the heart of that fantastic city of Glasgow. Will you begin this particular show? Oh, we're quoting from Scotland's greatest bard. Yes, Ravi Burns. But here's the subject, slightly adulterated. We, timorous beastie. Talk on that subject if you can, starting now.
Well, this refers to a mouse. There are some scientists who believe that mice are derived from dinosaurs, and that millions of years ago, animals such as Tyrannosaurus rex used to live inside skirting boards in old caveman's kitchens. And I believe it was perhaps the most famous film star in Hollywood.
Derek Nimmo, you have challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation there, Derek. So, you...
It won't be safe going back to the hotel.
I can see there's always going to be prejudice from the start. And right. So, Derek, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. You take over the subject. There are 38 seconds left. The subject is We Timorous Beastie. And you start now.
We timorous sleeked cowering beastie. Oh, what a panic in thy breastie. Now, there's nothing to the... terrible...
you were carried away with your own success there. You didn't know you could do it. Oh, you rotten old Satanathew. There we are. Paul, it was your...
Hesitation.
Hesitation was correct, yes. So you have the subject back, Paul. Another point and 30 seconds available on the subject. We timorous beastie, starting now.
Walt Disney created Mickey Mouse in 1928. Originally, he was called Mortimer. And there was a bit of a fuss at the time because there was another artist who drew the original cartoon character who Mr. the man I mentioned earlier, elbowed out and didn't give him any credit at all. And there was some fuss, indeed, there was a great deal of fuss. That's three fusses.
Derek Nimmo got
you wait for one fuss. Too much fuss.
Too much fuss, yes.
You wait Derek for one and... fuss and they all come along together.
Derek, you've gone in first on repetition. 12 seconds available on the subject. Starting now.
Hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock. The timepiece struck one. The timorous beastie ran down. I don't think he's got the nerve to stay there any longer. Now, am I...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Derek Nimmo who's got most points at the end of that round. Is naturally in the lead as a result. Blythe Duff, will you take the next round? So we're going to hear from you for the first time on Just a Minute. This is very exciting. They've got for you very aptly debates. We're in the debating chamber here at the university. But will you talk about debates starting now?
No, not sure. The concept is rather alien to me. Debating suggests that I have the remotest interest in anyone who might care to disagree with me. I'm a Celt and female, enough said. I mean, let's face it, did William Wallace debate with Longshanks? No, methinks not. One look around this evening, I think I probably made the right choice. The debating chamber seems a bit like being thrown to the lions, as far as I'm concerned. Oh, everyone has seen that.
Well, Your first foray on Just a Million went going for 29 seconds. Derry came in on the hesitation. Debates, Derry, starting now.
Well, it is wonderful, actually, to be in this marvelous debating chamber.
Yeah.
The very people applaud one's merest utterance. The last time I was in such a place, in a debate, was actually at a university called Cambridge. And second to me was Stirling Moss, and against me was that dear old actor, thespian Robert Morley, aided by a very delectable Felicity Cameron.
Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation,
yes. And you've got in, Paul, with half a second to go. On debates, another point, of course, for doing that. Starting now.
First debate.
Yes. Paul Merton. At the point for speaking, as the whistle went, he has moved forward. He's one behind Derek Nimmer, who's still our leader. Derek, it's... would you like to take the next subject? Oh, yes, a good one, this. Embarrassing friends. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
One of my most embarrassing friends tends to eat meat very slowly and then, rather like an owl, regurgitate and put the meat in little balls by the side of his...
Tony Hawk's
First of all, I haven't said anything yet, so I thought it'd be nice. I think that was a repetition of meat.
It was a repetition of meat. So, well, listen, Tony. And you have got in for the first time. Delighted to hear from you. 49 seconds are available. A point, of course, embarrassing friends is with you starting now.
There's nothing I like more than embarrassing friends. And my favorite method is just to say something like, I think my lawyer can get the charge down to manslaughter in a very loud voice when we're in...
Well, I did say hesitation, but it was hardly worth it. It was sort of...
It certainly wasn't hesitation.
No, not certainly.
All right, I get an extra point.
Human extra point.
An incorrect challenge, so Tony gets a point, he keeps the subject, and there are 36 seconds left starting now.
I don't actually have any embarrassing friends myself because I am such a difficult person to embarrass. If I was easy, I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing now, because this is obviously one of the most embarrassing places and things you could be doing with your life. And in a way, these people here are my friends, but they're...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Aviation, we're not his friends. He's only on the show because Jimmy Logan pulled out.
Give Paul a bonus point because we enjoyed the challenge and so did the audience. But Tony wasn't strictly deviating from the rules in Just a Minute, so he keeps the subject. And, of course, a point because he was interrupted. 16 seconds with you, Tony. Embarrassing friends.
My colleague, Paul Merton, attempted to embarrass me there, but notice the way I rode on without any...
And Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repeat, repetition, embarrass, not embarrassing.
Correct. Well, listen, Derek, yes.
Well, he's right. Give the man fair due. He's right.
Sharp ears Nimmo, right. Embarrassing friends, Derek, 12 seconds starting now.
This embarrassing friend of mine said, tell me, do lemons have eggs?
And Paul challenged.
Lens? Couldn't understand that, I'm afraid.
Lens?
What was it? I couldn't hear. Deviation from the English language.
Lens? Deviation from English as we understand it, certainly. 7 seconds for you, Paul, on embarrassing friends, starting now.
I was saying to my friend Pol Pot last Christmas, what are you doing with yourself these days? I don't hear so much about you. He said, well, I've not been feeling too well.
So Paul Merton, again, an extra point of the whistle went. Another point in that round has taken him into the lead, one ahead of Derek Nimmo. And then comes Tony Hawks and Blythe Duff in that order. And Tony, your turn to begin. The subject, culture. And 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
I have a favourite joke on this subject. What's the difference between Australia and a yoghurt? Well, the second has a live culture. I actually happen to know... here was the European City of Culture in 1990, and I believe this was the main reason why Paul Gascoigne chose to come here. He could play his football in this fine city. I can see before me a room, a debating chamber, if you like, full of people who admire culture. Looking around, I wonder how many went to the opera only this week, or to an art gallery today. A man's putting his hand up. He's a liar, I know it. frequented because culture...
Derek Nimmo, challenge. Art gallery. You did mention the art gallery before. Yes, Derek. A repetition. 16 seconds. Culture with
it
you.
It was way back in 1952 that I had judged this to be a city of culture. When they purchased Salvador Dali's Crucifixion for £8,200. It was ridiculed at the time, but events have proved that the city fathers of Glasgow were absolutely right, and it is a great master...
Paul Merton, you was in full flood then, and what's your chance?
Repetition of Glasgow.
Absolutely, yes.
You can't repeat Glasgow too often.
I entirely agree. As I call it my adopted home, you cannot repeat it too often. But in just a minute, I'm afraid, if it's not on the card in front of me, it is repetition, Derek. So Paul got in with 1 second to go. You are really winning friends and influencing people here, Paul. Right. 1 second on culture, Paul, starting now.
Boy George.
Paul's increased his lead at the end of that round, and he takes the next round. Paul, old alumni, will you tell us something about them, or the subject, or any way you like to take it, in just a minute, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons was a student here in Glasgow University in the 1940s, and he said before tonight's recording that he had appeared on this stage in that decade, so some 50 years later he was such a success they've asked him back. If it goes down well tonight, he'll be here again in the year 2037. By which time he will be 124 and still have all his own teeth. He paid for them in 1956. He owns them. They're his. I suppose old alumni... I had a sheepdog called Old Alumni. What a wonderful creature he was. A very faithful animal. I used to throw sticks for him, and sometimes he'd bring them back, and other times he would ignore me completely. I would take him across to the common and shout out, "Old Alumni, where are you? Run towards me, you proud beast, with those four paws, one after another, pounded across the grass towards me." Sometimes I would send him out to buy heroin for me. Come across drug dealers and purchase a substance.
Well, Paul Merton started with the subject, and after 60 seconds, he still was going strong with the subject. So you get double the points. You get one for speaking when the whistle went, and a bonus for not being interrupted. Well done, Paul Merton. And you have increased your lead at the end of the round. Blythe Duff, your turn. Would you talk on answering machines? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Some may say that Jeremy Beadle is the scourge of a modern telecommunications industry. I submit that it is answering machines. I mean, why can't people be honest and just say, if you leave your name and number, I'll get back to you when I give a toss? No, instead there is a high-pitched eardrum bursting wail by the time you've picked yourself off the floor, removed the blood from the carpet, you then decide you're going to leave a message, or perhaps you won't. I would suggest that it's probably a better idea if you don't. Why don't you just forget it? And what they have to do is they have to phone 1471 and try and to get your number.
Tony.
Unfortunately, the number repeats one.
1-4-7-1. But, Bly, you kept going for 45 seconds. I mean, no...
Thing is that I have got a column there, and there's not an ounce of nothing on it. There's not a wee point or nothing. Just one point.
I know. The old thing about this show is you gain points when you don't have the subject, actually, because you challenge and get in there. But I can assure you, for a first-time player of the game, nobody has gone on the second attempt of 45 seconds. That's brilliant. But you did repeat one. And, Tony, you got in first, and you have 15 seconds on answering machines, starting now.
I have no need for answering machines.
Paul,
that's because nobody ever phones him up.
Paul, they enjoy the challenge. I give you a bonus. Tony, you were interrupted. You get a point. You have 12 seconds. Answer machines, starting now.
Why do people leave messages saying, "Sorry, I can't get to the phone at the moment"? Why leave it somewhere where you can't reach it? Sir, put it in the hallway, and then as you come in, you'll pass it, you'll see the little light.
Well, Tony Hawks is speaking as a whistle. Wendy gained an extra point for doing so. Tony!
It's your turn to begin. The subject, neighbours. Tell us something about those in this game, starting now.
Neighbours, everybody needs good neighbours. And nothing could be truer, but what a fine soap that is. Many's the time I will watch it 2 times a day. Oh, I wish it was on 4 or more. I saw one episode where they attempted to carry out a tracheotomy on a kitchen table. It was...
Paul Merchant.
You can't give a kitchen table a tracheotomy.
Devious. All right, I think because of the cleverness of your thinking, we must give it you, Paul, a point and 41 seconds on neighbours, starting now.
Well, they're a pain in the neck, really, aren't they? I mean, you're some terrible person living next to you smells and has some terrible habits where they quave... Oh, yes, too terrible. Go on, stop me on that, why don't you?
34 seconds, Derek. Neighbours, starting now.
I think I must be the only British actor. In fact, I know that I am, that has actually appeared in the soap Neighbours. I was sitting in Hong Kong and the telephone rang and they said, would you like to go and be in Neighbours? I said, well, who else is in it? They said, the Bishops. I said, couldn't. Oh, dear gracious. But I thought, I do like going to Australia, particularly in December, for that was when...
Paul
Chalmers.
Repetition of Australia.
Yes. You went to Australia before. You were in Hong Kong, actually, when they asked you. I know that, but you went to Australia to do it. 14 seconds, Paul. Neighbours, starting now.
I remember once the man who used to live next to me in 19...
Derek?
Repetition of next.
You said that before. The neighbours, people next door. Oh.
Yeah.
7 seconds, Derek. Neighbours, starting now. Blythe, you challenge. Clive, you challenged. Yes.
No, Derek, I'm sorry, I didn't challenge. No,
you hesitation. Yes. What a clever girl you are. I spotted it. Yes. And you take over the subject of neighbours with 9 seconds to go, starting now.
I really wish Nicholas Parsons was my neighbour. Can you imagine that charming gentleman waking up to him every morning and go, hello, Nick.
Derek.
How could you, Derek?
Derek, wake
could
up
you?
To that. That's a nightmare.
An incorrect challenge. Blythe gets another point for an incorrect challenge. She gets a bonus coin because you've insulted the chairman. And she has 3 seconds to keep going on Neighbours, starting now.
Every morning of a different shirt and tie.
Yes, Derek.
Repetition of morning.
I know, but I didn't give it to you against you before, so I'm not going to do it this time either. So Blythe has half a second and another point to keep going on Neighbours, starting now.
In the air.
Blythe Duff was then speaking of the whistle when gained that extra point for doing so, and she has leapt forward. But she's still in fourth place. And Paul, would you take the next round? The subject, in the pink. Tell us something about that. Rosy subject, starting now.
Well, it means to be healthy, I suppose, doesn't it? In good health. I haven't had a physical ailment except
Very good.
Collapse.
Yeah, we call that hesitation. Well done, Derek. 54 seconds. In the pink, starting now.
I must say, to know, whenever I come to Glasgow, I always feel in the pink. As this morning I got off my aeroplane, I thought, here I am in quite the most beautiful city in the United Kingdom. And I took on my pink shirt and my tie to match, and I thought, now I can walk safely down Stocky Hall Street and meet all my old friends.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
I think this is deviation, really, isn't it?
Right.
Well, he's used the words in the pink to talk about Glasgow, which obviously we all want to do because we're in Glasgow. But I think he's veered off the subject.
I thought he was conveying to me that being in Glasgow and even walking down Stocky Hall Street made him feel in the pink. I was rather with him there, actually.
Right.
I was sort of living it alongside. So I disagree with the challenge,
well,
Derek. So you have a point for an incorrect challenge and 31 seconds in the pink starting now.
Those charming pictures called Miss Carter Wore Pink. I've collected them over the years, and I keep them in a very small room at the bottom of my garden and look at them with the greatest pleasure. Of course, there is hunting pink, and if you wear that these days, people are awfully cross with you, really, and the MPs for Worcester march upon your house and set fire to things and let dogs loose upon your dogs and lots of other things. I've said dogs, I've still not strong.
So, you've challenged again, Blythe.
Repetition of dogs.
Yes. Well, listen. So you cleverly got in with only 5 seconds to go, Blythe. On In the Pink, starting now.
In the Pink, it would be a lovely name for a tune for a song that would be sung by...
So Blythe's up for Spain, speaking to Whistleway and gained an extra point. She's moving forward. She's only just behind Derek Nimmer and Tony Hawks, equal in second place, and 3 points ahead of them in the lead is still Paul Merton. And Derek, will you take the next subject? The subject, Lost Languages. 60 seconds, starting now.
It was the discovery of the Rosetta Stone in 1799 that actually made people able to read for the first time and understand hieroglyphs. It had printed upon it, or carved on the stone itself...
Tony Hawk's child.
It's a bit mean, actually, but he's on.
On.
I know. Well, I withdraw it, but it was a reflex action. I couldn't help it. I buzzed. It was too late.
And you could have had stone, couldn't you?
Repetition of stone.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant.
Well, actually, I mean, I have to be fair within the rules of just a minute. If you challenge on that, which is, I agree with you, it's a bit of a mean challenge, but as he did repeat something, we'll give it to you, Tony. So you have a point, and you have 48 seconds. Lost languages, starting now.
Nothing is more annoying than losing a language. Only this morning I had Swedish. I put it down somewhere. I am looking around for it all day. I have no idea where it is. The same happened with Greek, German, Polish. It's me. I'm blighted in this particular area. If only I could... So I can't...
Derek, another point. The subject, 33 seconds. Lost languages, starting now.
There were 847 different languages in Papua New Guinea, but 723 of these have been lost. It is a huge sadness.
Tony, you're challenged.
Repetition of 100.
Yeah. Well, listen, Tony, 25 seconds. Lost languages with you, starting now.
England and Portugal are the only two countries in the European community that don't have a minority language within them, unless you count Cornish. But I think that's more of an ice cream than a language. Of course, I will have upset the people of Cornwall, but I don't mind. That's the way it is. I can live with that. I don't get there that often. But anyway, if I did, I would learn Cornish and I would repeat the word.
Paul Merton.
Repetition of Cornish.
You had too much Cornish there, I'm afraid, yes. Paul, you've got in with 5 seconds to go. Lost languages, starting now.
I believe it was the great philosopher W.B. Johnson who once...
Right. So, Paul Merton, speaking of Whistleway, gained that extra point. He's increased his lead. Oh, we're coming towards the end of the show. This probably, in fact, I think it's definitely going to be the last round. It's Tony Hawks' turn to begin. The subject, it's rap. Talk about rap, Tony, starting now.
In my opinion, the finest rap record ever recorded was by a band called Morris Minor and the Major. My reason for saying this is not because I was part of that band, indeed sang and wrote this particular song. It is, in fact, because it was a splendid spoof of the wee timorous Beastie Boys, who had, for a long time, irritated us with their own particular form of rap, which was ingratiating and not that good, although people went out and bought it in their millions, as indeed they did with the disc I mentioned about my very self. It seems a little bit ungenerous of me.
Paul Merton, challenge.
The disc I mentioned about my very self.
Yes. So that's deviation.
Deviation.
From grammar, at least, not from English. But it's one of the difficult decisions because, I mean...
Well,
you know,
make it then.
All right, he was deviating from the standard sort of English that we normally use, but all right, Paul, you can have it. 25 seconds. Rap, starting now.
The Orange Juice Advisory Board produced a rap about vitamin C called Vitamin C Rap, but unfortunately on the rap it looked like crap.
Let me challenge, yes.
To vitamin C.
It was too much vitamin C, I'm afraid.
You can't have too much vitamin C.
No.
Just ask the people of Glasgow.
All right, yes. But you can in one round of just a minute, and that's what counts at the moment. So, Derek, you got in on rap and 20 seconds are left.
We seem to be going for an awfully long time. I think we ought to rap very soon, because otherwise everybody will get totally fed up. I'm already absolutely bored stiff and longing for some more water. They've run out of that. Now, another rap that I don't like is when you come up in an aeroplane, everything is covered in this bits of plastic, and you have to fight your way inside it to produce a bit of butter, a knife and fork.
Deviation.
What?
But when you get on a plane, not everything is covered in plastic. The wings aren't covered in plastic. The pilot isn't covered in plastic.
The host settings aren't covered in plastic. No. I quite agree. What a delightfully good challenge, yes. And Paul, you've got in with 1 second.
Thank you.
On rap. Starting now.
I would just like to say...
Paul Merton, is once again speaking as the whistle wind, gained that extra point, and of course has increased his lead. And we have no more time, unfortunately, to play. Just a minute, so let me give you... Well, I'll tell you what. Why didn't you come back again, and we'll do another show from Glasgow University sometime... That endorsement's gone out over the airwaves, so I do hope that we will be back one of these days. Now, let me just tell you the final situation as regards to the points. I mean, Lifeguard's not played a game before, but she did fantastically well, and she's got a lot of points, but she didn't get quite as many as Derek Nimmo, who has been playing the game for many years and gave his usual good, tremendous value. Tony Hawks, he did marvellously well, as usual, but just a few points out ahead was Paul Merton, so we say, with most points, Paul, you are the winner this week. For me, once more, to say thank you to our four intrepid players of the game, Paul Merton, Tony Hawks, Derek Nimmo, and Blythe Duff. Also have to thank Linda Copley for keeping the score, blowing her whistle so magnificently. Also our producer, Chris Neal, who manages to keep the show going so well and looks after us all. And, of course, Ian Messiter, who thought of and created this game. We thank them all. And from them and from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much, particularly this vociferous audience here at Glasgow University, for the warmth of your reception, the charm of your reaction, and the pleasure of your company. Until we all meet again and take to the air playing just a minute. Goodbye!